This should be me and Ken conversing about what we're going to do.
Okay. Oh, man. I have to recover, too.
I will make a comment that everybody will be like, wait, are you talking to us?
Do it. Yeah. Do it.
That was meant for everybody. I'm sorry, my friend is trying to make coffee, and he's like, well, you know, coffee, I need some milk to go with it, and he's like, well, the milk was a little bit expired, but I managed to not put any cheese in my coffee. Oh. Am I the only one with a sick enough sense of humor that is hilarious?
So, I don't get it.
Expired milk, it turns to chunks.
Otherwise known as sour.
Yeah. I can't move on.
Wait, I don't get, how is that sick? I'm so confused.
I think the laughter has made her high. Milk chunk is rotten cheese. It's like rotten cheese. That's how you make cheese.
Yeah, in his coffee. There's no cheese in his coffee. Because the milk was expired. No chunks of milk in his coffee. Just cheese in his coffee. It's not funny the more I explain it.
Maybe it is for her. I'm laughing because I still don't get it.
Oh my god. Okay, she needs to like calm down.
No, keep going.
I'm not laughing because I get it. I'm laughing because I don't get it.
Kiwi.
One time my best friend actually laughed at a joke that I told him, and then he told me he didn't understand it.
That's how I am. I'll laugh at almost anything, and then I probably wouldn't have understood it anyway.
Well, I don't get it.
You should have heard me earlier. I was like laughing at all these lines, and then one of them I couldn't even read it right. Yeah.
Aw, you're just in a giggly mood tonight, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, back to the main question. Is there anything else that you think you have weak points in?
It could probably be a shorter list if I give you what I think I'm strong in.
Wow.
I am really good at spelling and grammar.
I'm bad at that.
So am I.
Except for ceiling. Like, anything like ceiling or like pieces. The IE, I swear I'm dyslexic. It's just for certain things. Like numbers, oh my gosh, if I put too many numbers in the computer, I'm like, I'm putting that stuff in backwards. And then IE, I always get that mixed up.
I'm actually bad at tense verbs.
Tenses, really?
Hmm.
Yeah. Past and present tense, yeah.
I'll look cute, actually.
It's hard. It's not easy. I think why it's hard for me is because I have long, like, complex kind of sentences. It's like three sentences put together.
All right.
That probably explains why it's hard.
Yes.
Good day.
You want to know what I'm weak at?
What are you weak at?
I'm weak at...
Just telling jokes?
No.
No,
if I was weak at telling jokes, how come your sides hurt?
I'm just messing with you.
Okay. No, what I'm weak at is sadness.
It's in the Dropbox.
You're bad at sadness?
Right.
I guess that makes sense.
I have a hard time writing emo stuff.
That. So you're bad at, like, writing how the mood is, kind of, when it comes to sad stuff?
Well, it's hard for me to get the characters to rise to the requisite level of sadness to make other people sad.
So you can't get the feeling across. Is that what you're trying to say?
Or
I think that's pretty much what he's trying to say.
Or I can't seem to write stories that are very sad.
That's kind of hard to imagine, considering where I live. Like, I know everyone that has really hard hard time in their life. So I find it easier for me to write really depressing stuff. It's actually hard for me to write happier things.
Yeah, I have like two modes of sadness. There's like emo tier and then like suicide.
Wouldn't emo tier be mixed in that?
That's my two levels of sadness.
They're like both extreme, by the way.
Emo tier is in sarcastic emo tier. Like, oh, that's kind of sad, I guess. Tear. Teardrop. And then it's like, now your character officially wants to kill themselves.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I kind of have that too, but it's like more than that. It's like
that explains your emo sandwich that one time.
Emo sandwich? I won't eat that sandwich.
No, Rindy wrote an emo sandwich one time because I killed Gaston.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that was really well written, though. I really liked that.
And then they
I missed something. I'm sorry, I missed something.
Perfect timing. They laugh right after.
No. I was saying that was really well written. I was really like, I was really moved, and I don't really say that about sad things.
I believe someone managed to. I mean, it's like the saddest thing I've ever written in my
movies.
Life.
I hate movies. They're song scores, man.
Don't crap yourself.
Unfortunately, my level of sadness rarely gets beyond having a bad day.
Well, maybe it was a really bad day.
I wasn't even sad when I wrote that, though. I don't think I was.
It's just that you're getting better at being able to convey emotions.
No, I think it was just because the song I based it off of, I listened to it so many times that I was really sad.
There's not a straight.
No, that's. I still stand by what I say. Consider that like a turning point of your writing, in a way.
I can't write anything else like that though. I don't think so.
This is the D&D one.
You can. You just have to stop being so critical with yourself. Because every time I write, I feel like everything that I write is a turning point of something. Like, I had a fic that was basically the turning point of me being able to write characterization. Another one about character development. Another one about plot. Then there was another one about detail.
I don't think I have those.
You'll get those the more you write without having to judge yourself. You will. You will get there. Don't worry. Believe me, you will. But, yeah, so I have all those sort of turning points. Like, I don't know if anyone actually read it, but when I read that story about Koha being killer, that was kind of the turning point of me being able to write detail. And now, like, if you look at my other fics, the details I see a lot longer.
Randy. Just to be completely random. When we started the podcast, Kawaii Beam had a program on in the background about alligators and crocodiles eating dinosaurs.
What eating dinosaurs?
Crocodiles and alligators.
So it's basically an alligator and a dinosaur eating a dinosaur.
Yeah.
That's really cute.
So,
I find weird things cute.
So
that's like
you found an animal that can eat your it can rip you pretty easily eating a dinosaur cute.
So
yes, oddly I do find that cute. Maybe it's because every time you guys say like animals, I see them in like cartoon form.
Okay.
In my brain.
So what would be really random would be if your Dungeons and Dragons team was suddenly attacked by a dinosaur-eating crocodile.
You know, I think there's a monster like that, actually.
Okay.
Eat the crocodile?
Hey, guys, we need to invest in dinosaur-eating crocodiles.
Silence.
Crickets, everybody crickets, got quiet. Crickets.
Stop laughing at the silence then.
What the... Yeah, tumbleweed blows by.
Oh, and Rindy, I tried to bribe people to go watch Gomen Nasai. Because no one really watched it.
You Dude, need... this is a really great movie. Okay, well, it's a really Japanesey movie.
All we can say is go watch it.
You have yes, to. It is. It's. I liked it, okay?
If you want to save people's lives, go watch it.
What if I don't?
Then you're really, really mean. Isn't she really?
What if you're not a fan of Bono?
Still, go watch it.
Does
it
what
matter?
If you don't know Bono is...
You're actually good!
Yes. The only thing that was not good was Mia's wig.
Yeah, Mia's
that
wig
had that. A mind of its own.
That wig was evil in its own way.
Let's dive into the portal, yay!
Wig.
Oh. Nope, that was silence.
Okay, I will be right back.
Okay.
No, you have to stay here.
No, I have to go use the bathroom.
Well, no, you have to stay here.
You have an extra pair of underwear.
But I think I'll use the bathroom. I will return.
So, okay, Junkie, okay. I have a question for you.
Yes.
What do you think is my weakness in fanfiction writing?
Wow, this is a hell of a question, because, like I said, people will be able to enjoy my criticism. So, before I can even answer, are you willing to accept my criticism openly?
Absolutely. If I disagree with you, then, you know,
just don't try to rip my head off then. Disagree.
Yeah. No, let's look at it this way. I believe that everybody has the right to be wrong, you know? No, just kidding.
Yes, yes. I will be wrong on many occasions. Okay, well, I can't really give a full detail considering I don't really read your story. I'm going to be honest. I do glance at it, and I do read. Obviously, I read when you were reading out loud the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I think one of the main things that sticks out to me the most mm-hmm. is okay. characterization and how realistic the speech is.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem realistic at all.
Yeah.
It kind of lacks that natural feel to it.
I'm sorry. What are we talking about?
Stop saying yeah for no reason.
What are we talking about?
She's criticizing my writing.
Oh.
So that's one of the main things that I notice.
Okay.
So I think you should probably work on that to make the interactions and the speech more realistic and the character development more realistic too.
Hmm.
And another is, well, it's going to go for everyone. The way you write things can be written better. But I always think that with myself. I'm always going to think that whoever wrote whatever what is could always be better. That's just how it's going to be. Just to kind of give someone that.
Yeah. I really have been struggling with D&D lately, or B&B lately. Sorry. I have something on the brain. Because I'm looking back at everything that I've done, and I hate it. I'm like, oh my gosh, I should have done this here, and I should have done that there, and it's just like, I want to finish this stupid story. But I just, I hate everything that comes out of my brain.
Well, it's good to get the idea down first, because then you might not be able to know, like, what you have is really good or not. Because there are times when I stop writing something, and then, like, a year later, I actually look back at it, and I'm like, oh, well, the concept is very good. This is very good about it. But I forgot what I originally wanted to do, so now I can't even continue writing it. So it's good to write down whatever you think. And then from there, like, I guess just clear your mind and then come back at it later. You don't have to finish it right away. But that's the hard part, too.
I've been working on the next chapter of it, and I'm probably about halfway done. I mean, right now I have had no time to do anything. I've been working 6 days a week, like 40 hours of pure crazy customer service torment. So I'm just so wiped at the end of the day. I don't want to do anything. But when I do, like, open my doc and look at it, I'm just like, you know, reviewing, like, oh, you know, well, I want to revisit this place, so, you know, who was here before, and then I'm, like, rereading it, I'm like, this is retarded. Why did I even say this? Why did I put this here? I mean, I'm stupid. Like, I still keep coming back to the whole beginning of the second arc, where Risa was unconscious for, like, most of the first few chapters. I'm like, first of all, it could have been a lot more clear in her injuries. And then, second of all, I have no idea how those injuries affect the body. You know, like, being unconscious.
Being unconscious can result in death. There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, I know that it would be, like, prolonged coma would be, like, it messes with your reactions and being able to walk if you've been out for long enough, and your speech as well, and stuff like that, but, like, half-assed research into it.
You don't need to be that detailed, because it's fan fiction, so no one really cares.
Well, actually, I had somebody point out, because I was saying that Aiton mixed alcohol while she was on morphine, drank alcohol while she was on morphine, and someone was like, what? Why would this happen? Like, I don't know, she's an alcoholic.
Alcoholics can do stupid stuff, you never know.
Yeah.
She could have called herself a liker.
A liker? a liker that's an alcoholic.
A fierce liker that's an alcoholic.
So now I'm picturing like a head with a liker head.
Wow, I was totally confused before, because when Junkie was like making some weird comments during the performance about Takahashi being a liger, I thought that she was talking about professional wrestler Jushin Thunder Liger.
What?
No.
A liger is a species that is part tiger and part lion.
Oh, okay. Okay, then
oh my god, I'm so stupid. Why?
But we just lost Rindy.
Okay, Rindy? Oh.
She's gone.
Oh.
They come, they go.
Sorry.
Okay, but Junkie, I have a question for you. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You're saying that my characterization is weak. Now, perhaps you'd like to look at like the first scene that we did with Risa and I walking to school together. What was missing in your mind in terms of characterization?
Okay. Let's see. Let me just open it up again.
Okay.
My internet permits me to do so. Mm-hmm. It's a little slow right now.
Clicky.
Okay. So now I got here. I'm just going to skip the detail, because detail is, like, I can go on forever for it, and it's kind of tricky to do detail. So I'm just going to go with the speech, which I consider the easiest.
Okay.
Okay, so when you do, the first line's okay. But what would probably help after is letting the readers know who said it. Okay? So that would help. And characterization is odd, because you have Risa that's referring to Ai as senpai. Mm-hmm. Even though Ai is younger, she's mentality-wise, she's more mature.
No. Ai is 1 year older than Risa in the story.
Yeah, well, if you want to stick with characterization closer to the girls, it would be more just like I had being the motherly figure towards her.
Well, the both of them are in junior high school.
Yeah, but then, like, since the way I see it is that since Ai's, like, I guess she's a little bit unsure of herself and the perfectionist, so she would prefer not to take charge and would have to do it. That's how I see it. Let me look some more.
While you look, I got a text from Rindy and she said her computer randomly shut down.
Oh, okay.
That's why
we'll tell her computer needs to be checked up because poor thing just cried. Hmm. maybe if I read it out, it would probably help to explain it better. Okay, so it's like, senpai, so that's good. That line's okay. If you're taking out the characterization, because I think the characterization is backwards. It should be the other way around. And since they're kind of close.
Well, why would I call Risa her senpai when she's older than her?
No, they wouldn't call each other senpai at all because they would be very close. They would just be calling each other by their name.
No. The whole point of this thing is that Risa wants Ai to be her primary senpai because she wants this really close relationship with Ai.
So you want your story to be like that, basically, your fit. So then I can't really say anything about characterization if you want it to be that way. Because what I would do is that I would write it, but try to stick to their personality that I know through watching videos of them.
Quite a bit of the story is OOC.
Yeah.
Because obviously okay. Risa is not a big glasses wearing like moe girl.
All right, so you want to keep that then. So then I can't really say anything about that. So then it's just the speech.
Okay.
So the speech, really, you have to really be careful and question yourself about it.
Okay.
Like, see, is this realistic? Like, would this be something I could picture them saying or picture anyone in reality saying that? Like, what is it, Risa? It's most people just say, what? Or just, what is it? Another line is, you never really told me if you consider me your koha or not. Actually, that one's kind of tricky because I think it has to do with how the type of world you want the story to be in.
Well, it's a reference to the first chapter. In the first chapter, Risa confronts Ai about how she wants her to be her senpai and stuff like that, and she never gets like a definite answer back from Ai. But
it's kind of hard for me to explain, but when it comes to speaking, to be like, it's the reason why it's difficult is because probably people don't normally notice how other people speak.
Right.
They'd rather listen to the content of what they're saying. But when you write, and when you want to write realistically as possible in a story, you kind of have to pay attention to how people speak and the words they choose to make the sentence seem more natural. I'm trying to look for one. Like, the one I find the most obvious is probably Reyna.
Okay.
That seems a bit out of it with the speaking.
Okay. I was trying to, like, make Reyna, like, really over the top.
Then, you pretty much did that then. But it still doesn't seem... The speech doesn't seem natural still. Like, it can still be over the top, but it can still have a sense of a natural feeling to it. That's what makes it hard, too. It's like you want it to be over the top, but you don't want to lose the realistic element to it. So you kind of have to play around with it.
Well, the thing is, though, I write down the way I hear the characters talk in my head. And oftentimes they'll talk with very specific inflections and stuff like that. They'll talk in a very particular way. And to me, it's kind of hard to get that way down on the page.
Yeah, it is really hard. That's why you just have to, like, really focus on, observe people around you, and then really carefully read what you're writing and question it. Question, is this realistic? Is this in character? Is this reaching the goal that I want? Would I say this? Would anyone I know say this? Or have I encountered anyone who has said this or would say this? So it's really hard, especially if you wanted to stick closer to the to Japanese speech, which is difficult because you're not Japanese, so it's probably never going to be reached 100%. So you kind of have to stick with what you know, the way people speak in America.
Well,
so that can be a little bit hard.
I guess my inspiration is not really the way people normally speak. It's more like the way that people translate, like, animes and, like, doramas.
Oh, you want to model it after that?
Yeah.
Then really, you couldn't really change that if you want it to be how it is in anime, especially a crack, senseless anime.
Well,
it depends on what you're trying to.
Okay, before we go on, just as a sidebar, I've wanted to ask this for a while. Could you give me an example of a crack senseless anime?
Okay. So, have you ever seen Puni Puni Powami?
Yes.
There you go.
Okay. Yes. That would be a crack senseless anime. Much along the same lines of Excel Saga and Bo 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 Bo.
Oh God, Bo Bo Bo. Oh really? That's more.
That's just crack on crack on crack.
Right.
And it never ends. It's like oblivion of crack.
Not even. It's like full blown ecstasy.
Right.
And unimaginable. There you go.
But I was more thinking. I guess I was trying to more model it after more mainstream type stuff, like although the thing is, though, you might get, what I consider mainstream, you might think is pretty crack as well, like what would you think of Oren High School Host Club?
Host Club? Actually, I haven't seen that one.
Oh, okay, then.
That's like a mixture of two things, isn't it? It's like, it was comedy, but wasn't it a bit serious?
Yeah.
Or am I wrong?
So Dojin.
It's a story of this girl who goes to who manages through academic achievement to get into this super rich high school, and winds up.
Yeah, I have like the first volume, but okay. I haven't really read more than that.
Okay. So
I saw one random episode that had, like, I think it was a filler episode, and I have the first volume.
Okay.
So, but I can't really judge on that one.
Okay. But the thing is, in the show, it's not particularly meant to be super cracktastic in terms of, like, the storyline doesn't change every 5 seconds, but the characterizations of most of the main characters are really over the top.
Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
I get what you mean. I guess it kind of does. I don't really watch a lot of anime like that.
Okay.
I did watch just Puni Puni Powami.
Okay.
And a little bit of Love Hina.
Okay.
A little bit of that. Which I think is just like, what the hell?
That's how you can think of it, because like Love Hina's kind of like that, where I guess what he means, like, there's like a serious kind of thing going on, or a normal thing, but everyone is just pure crazy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Love Hina. Look at all the, like, some of the serious stories in that, and everybody's crazy in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I see him always get beat up. He got, like, kicked to the
yeah,
stars.
He gets flown into random spots.
So
all because of he supposedly peeking when he wasn't peeking to begin with.
So, Junkie, what do you consider, Junkie, what do you consider a normal anime?
Normal anime?
Yeah. As opposed to a totally cracked out anime.
Well, I don't think I can really label anything normal because there's so many different genres.
I have no idea. I think the first thing that comes to my mind is kind of Zuki no Miko, but it was kind of sad.
Hmm. Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, there's so many different types that... Like,
okay,
you can't really say one is normal, because if you say something's normal, then, like,
okay.
I think you'd go to a drama,
now,
not really anime.
Drama.
Now, was Zuki no Mika the one that was kind of like Maria Samaga Midoru with giant Gundams?
It did have Gundams, yeah. But
okay. Okay.
The characters had... The main characters didn't use any of those.
Okay.
So they had just, like... I don't even know why they had a Gundam battle in there.
Oh.
It was so funny.
Okay, so that's what you consider normal. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Well, I actually did not like the Gundam battle thing because I don't really like them. I don't like
okay.
giant robots.
Yeah, I'm not that big a fan of giant robot type stuff.
But the scenes that Shana and Himiko had seemed, I guess, sort of natural.
Okay.
In a way. In a sense that no one popped out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one popped out of nowhere, like, in Puni Puni Huami with people with balls rolling on them.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you'll see, like, dildos lying around on the floor.
Okay.
Or just, like, random scenes of, like, the villains, and the villains are doing something stupid.
Mm. Okay, so...
Like, when they did have the talk, like, they did talk seriously.
Okay, so... But tying it back together to the story...
I know one that can be normal, I'm sorry.
What's that?
Like, I said I know one that can be somewhat normal,
what's,
in a
which
way.
One's that?
Like, Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, Sailor Moon.
Even though it had magical girls and people living on planets, like, the moon was full of oxygen.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
The moon kingdom was Earth, both moon. But if you think of it this way, I mean, it was like a love story. And even though, like, Usagi had a love interest, she kind of fell in and out with him in a way, even though they were meant together. I guess you can think of it like that, as a brief way, because, I mean, I've only ever really watched the English dubs, and that's when I was, like, a little kid, and I've read a few of the mangas, so... I can't really say 100%, but from what I remember from reading them, that's what kind of what I got. Like, there's... You can tell there's some struggle, even though there's magical girlness all throughout it.
Okay, I guess what you can call natural is what people have the gender called slice of life.
Okay.
That's natural.
Okay, so...
Who work.
More like honey and clover, then.
Yeah, I guess. I guess you could say something like that. Like, you can understand where they're coming from.
Okay.
Like, you can be in that character's shoes, in a way. Mine is some, like, you know, over characterization, but that's what you get. But like, if you can imagine yourself in their footsteps, I guess. Intense typing, type.
Shut up. So yeah, that's what I mean by normal, natural.
Okay, well, I guess I'm kind of handicapped in that regard, in as much as. Like, all the characters are female, and I'm male.
Well,
it really depends what theme you're looking for.
Even though I'm a girl, I've never even been in a relationship, and supposedly I write like it's real life, so... I don't know. How.
No, I don't. I've been in a relationship. I don't even write how it went because how it went was boring.
At least you had one.
What? At least I had one. Yeah, it lasted 9 months, but like after like.
Four, oh my gosh! It was a pregnancy.
Oh my god! Oh my god! No, but 6 months it just died. So it was like, okay, I sort of have someone, but we're not doing anything and we don't talk. I guess that means we're done. And that's how it ended. So, yeah, it didn't. That's why I don't want to base relationships on mine. Because it starts out strong, then just, like, dies. And it's like, okay.
Well, you could base something off of that. It'd just be really sad.
Now, I will admit, though, that one of my other stories, the Ika's a Guy story, An Annoying Paradise, that's meant to be crack. But the crack is supposed to be measured doses of crack. That each season starts off with some really cracktastic premise. But then for the rest of the season, everybody treats it seriously. For instance, in the first chapter, a guy is offered by a sunk substitute to join his all-girl idol agency because he thinks it'll help one of the other idols. Now, that obviously is never going to happen, and obviously the guy is never going to be able to pull it off. He's not going to get 5 minutes before every girl in the agency is going to know that he's a boy. But you have to suspend your disbelief on that point and just simply assume, oh, well, maybe he's good at it or something.
Well, you know, it's okay for some stories to defy logic. That's how you have sci-fi. And fantasy and all sorts of other stuff. So it's okay to do that. I mean, there's already some big mangas or animes that people like because of that. Like, and you wonder why. Like, there was this, I think a manga where basically, no, an anime. This guy gains his power by drinking breast milk. Like, what?
Yeah. I think there are some ideas that are just meant to be ideas.
No, the fact that it actually got sponsored to be an anime is like, what?
I know.
Your idea isn't as bad. So, and it can probably work because there's such things as wigs, and Japanese men already look like females, so it doesn't really matter.
Yes. Maybe he'll grow up to be in a Visual K band or something.
Yeah, probably. Which probably are like girls anyways. Okay.
And then in the second season, they wind up going into an alternate universe where magic is real, and they have to like save some people and find out about their inner selves and crap like that. And then in the third season, they're invaded by aliens. So, but each season they all take it very seriously. So, but yeah, it is a cracktastic story. I would be the first to admit.
Cracktastic.
Yeah.
See, crack can work. I think people like my fic of Santa Eddie, which was supposed to be just straight up crack anyways. So it can work and people will like it. Just depends how you do and how you present it.
I actually do think that I would like for my skill at character at being able to get people to sound different, like to have each character have their own voice.
Well, that's actually pretty tough too, because it's hard to convey accents and different personalities through writing. It's something that works better auditory, like listening to it. But what can help is just like, because if you, that again, you have to pay attention to how other people speak, the words they use, the sentences they use, the structure, like stuff like that.
And plus, like, it also helps with like how you write how they act. Cause like, say with Reyna, we all already know she's gonna be blunt, but how does she like act as she's saying it? Is she just standing there with like, her hands in her pockets, in her sweater pockets or whatever, looking at the person like they're crazy?
Hmm.
Or is she not even looking at all, but just doing her own thing? Like, that could help as a way to like,
oh, okay,
show what, like, if you want them to have their own thing. That's how I think, because I mean...
Okay, no, I definitely agree with that. But, you know...
Because, I mean, if you just type what they're saying and not really what, like, how they... But the, like, how they're saying it in a way by saying what they're doing, then it's just them talking.
Right. Well, the thing is that the... Most of the Hello Project idols have their own distinctive set of body language that you can... be sure that they'll pull out at some point.
Yeah, I mean, as another example, look at Sakazaki. I mean, Risa always pats the heck out of Aichen's head all the time.
her head went flat in the back.
Like, I'm surprised her hair is not flat from all the ruffling of bangs and stuff that she does to her. But, like, we all know that's what she does. And we all know Aichen likes to hit Risa when she gets embarrassed.
Well, I think Aichen likes to hit everybody.
No, but she just, she especially likes to hit Risa the most, okay, from what Risa said.
Okay.
Because even Risa's like, I wish you would hit lighter, but you don't. Mm-hmm. Like, other people hit softly, but no, you go all out. Like, and smack me across the head.
Smack the lung out.
Yeah, like, pretty much, just from that alone, you can use that in your power to make it, when you write the story, if you want them like that, if you want them to be
more
happy.
To behavior rather than body language.
Hmm.
Yeah, but that's kind of what I mean then, too, because if you want them each to have their own voice, they also have to have kind of their own behavior.
Hmm.
And
yeah,
that ties in with body language.
Hmm.
And that can help you find... that thing.
Okay. Well, that shouldn't be too hard with the story, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, say Sayu, she would never smack Risa across the head. I don't think so, not in the manner of Aichen.
Well,
she's more of a hugger.
Yeah, she'd probably hug or, like, gently push you and say something while Aichen screams and smacks you.
Well,
yeah.
Sayumi definitely has her own characteristic set of body language that she goes through.
Yeah.
And
because she kind of probably has a conflict of needing to seem cute and girly.
Yeah.
Right.
Kind of.
And
but she could be just like that in general.
Yeah. And and Eri in this story is very Eric-like. So she's going to be acting pretty masculine.
Tomboyish?
Yeah, masculine and tomboyish.
I'm Eddie Kun Dale.
And she's like, you want to see what I got there in my suit? I got some CDs. You want to buy some? 2 for $1.
Momusu.
Well.
And then every time someone buys something, she has the maracas and dances.
Musiku, wait, how does it go? Music? Did she say star or did she say yosai?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She says sometimes star or yosai.
Yeah. Musiku, irashai. Bring out my house.
Start dancing.
And they just look at them like, they look at her like she's crazy.
Crack. That's what's fun about crack. It's like, you go into high school and then you see Eddie just like sneaking around trying to illegally sell like CDs and stuff, and then when someone buys something, she just starts dancing.
Hmm.
And maracas come out of her jacket. And then after she starts dancing, she bows to the person, says thank you, and walks away.
Now,
and then the student's like, what the hell just happened?
But now, like, it could also be another example, like, say, notice how there isn't really much written about ninth gen, for example. And yes, they've been around for a year, but we still don't, a lot of people don't know enough to really write something on them.
Well, all of ninth gen is in the story.
Well, no, I mean, like, say you wanted to just do simply ninth gen, for example.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can make, really, right now, even though you already know, like, a little bit about each girl, you can write almost whatever the heck you want about them, because you really don't know that much about what their personality is like and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I was just about to mention that Ryo is in my story, and I'm having a hard time trying to figure out some, like, characteristic things for her as much as...
Yeah.
So far, the only thing I've come up for her is the fact that she's slightly shorter than the other girls, so everybody thinks that she's still a kid.
Well, yeah.
She's Ai's reincarnation. There you go.
Yeah, pretty much. But,
it's like I didn't even have to die to be reincarnated.
No, it's her child from the future.
Oh god. Her and I love child.
Yeah. But yeah, like, that's another thing. Like, even though you can still make anything because you don't know, it's still hard because you don't know. Because, I mean, like, Riho, at first she started out to be a cool girl with this cool character. But then Zuki brought out her shyness, like, took her shyness out, and now this girl's like a full-blown goofball who's all of a sudden obsessed with Fuku-chan.
But like, who isn't?
No, but she's, like, lately, she's, like, all on Fuku-chan to the point that I wonder if Edipon has to even worry even more now.
Well, I think Edipon has realized that... that she's always going to have Mizupon, but the only way that she's ever going to be absolutely sure that Mizupon is going to be hers is that she has to chase other girls. If that makes any sense.
I see what you mean, but Edipon gives death glares, man. She gives glares, yeah.
It's because she's a Kamoshige love tag.
If you notice, like, some gifts, they, like, single out, like, the thing, like, especially during, like, the Pyoko Pyoko Ultra making, and I don't know which girl was talking. I know it wasn't Zuki, though, because the way she was looking. But she went from smiley, and then someone started talking, and she just went death glare.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my god, I didn't even notice it. And
I think that the Eripon is going to turn into the next Yasi.
Well, I see where you can get that, but I think she'll probably be more like Sayu in a way.
Huh.
Because, I mean, look at her with Risa. Who goes out to the shop of the company that you work at to go buy the goods of your leader when you can just ask the staff to give it to you for free? And then you go, when you go to the store and you notice that your leader's photo set is sold out, you go and text your leader that photo card of that day of you that you took is gone and sold out. And then also when you go to concerts and you go in the dressing room, you take out your leader's photo books right next to your leader and say you can't sleep without looking at them before you go to bed. Who says that? These are all true. This is all what everyone has done.
Now,
she goes to the shop and gets the goods, tells Risa what goods sold out that day.
Now,
and also when she has her trunk full of her photo books.
Now,
that she brings along with her.
There's one thing I want to know in all of these stories. What is the proximity of Mizupon while all this is going on? Is she like 3 feet away and like doing a slow burn while this is happening, or Does this happen?
I think
without the benefit of Mizuban being there.
Well, for the photo book one, Risa had said that when she came to the dressing room, 9th and 10th Gen were already in, or they all came in at the same time, and she sat down and started getting her stuff out. And while the other girls were talking, Edipone would be like walking back and forth behind her until Risa asked her to sit down, or she was like talking with them, but waiting for Risa to ask her to sit down.
What? I guess.
Too much. Edipone was like a little puppy waiting for her owner to tell her to sit.
Yeah.
But I think also what I wonder is what happens when Risa graduates, what she's going to do. She's probably going to start buying Fukutan stuff.
Well,
saying Fukutan's her number one.
Well, maybe Mano Arena is next in line for that.
Why? Because they have the same name?
Yeah. Double Arena.
Well, she doesn't really talk about it in it. Because, I mean, before Risa, I think she said, well, overall, she said that her favorite member was Yuka.
Oh, okay.
But after Yuka graduated, we don't really know who's her favorite member at the moment. And all we know is that Risa is, like, her huge number one Dai Senpai that I love with all my heart. And I will buy everything. Mm. Well, Fukutan is the girl that she loves that's also in the same generation as her. Because, I mean, there's even stuff of this, the two of them holding hands, and there's not one thing that I've seen them together where Edipone does not have her arm around Fukutan.
Well, of course she's gonna horn dog that stuff.
She glues the poor girl to like her hip.
No, it's called being affectionate. What the hell?
I know. I'm just fooling around
now. No, it's also known as Mizuban crushes on every girl in this agency. I better let everybody know that they're not supposed to try to talk to her when I'm around. But of course, that's just me as a guy speaking. Yeah, it might be completely different for Eripon.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really know. I'm just fooling around here. They could just be really close friends, and she's just attached to her, and she just really, 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 really looks up to Risa in a really odd way. But yeah, we don't really know that much. Because I mean, say for her example again. Even though we see her as a really cute and happy girl, Aichen said in her memorial DVD that Anina really is negative about herself.
Yeah.
And that she'll think, if something goes wrong, she thinks everyone hates her.
There's actually...
Wait, who said that? Who thinks that again?
Aichen said that Edipone thinks that everyone hates her when something bad goes, like if she does a mistake or something.
Actually, just today, somebody put up on another site a mic hack where Eripon's having like a kind of a mini breakdown.
Yeah, I listened to it today.
Yeah, I don't speak Japanese well enough to authoritatively say what was going on, but she did use the word kimoi. In there, I think.
Well, from what I got, what I remember from Japanese class, she's pretty much talking down on herself, saying she's not good at this, she's not good at that, mm-hmm. She's just gross. And there's like, she's not cute, she's not good at, she's not interesting.
Mm.
Like, there's nothing good about her, pretty much is what she's saying.
Well,
and even like, it also proves the point of what Aichen said, that as soon as something bad probably went wrong, and she probably feels like it's all her fault and everyone hates her. So, and she brings that down upon herself.
Hmm.
Oh, poor.
Yeah, poor Edipone. That's why I kind of get annoyed when people say they hate a certain member just because of one thing. Because, I mean, these girls try so hard to be happy and cheer everyone else on while they get told that they're not good enough. when they ask
you. It's just what happens when you're a celebrity.
Yeah.
You're gonna have people who hate you, and you're gonna have people who like you.
No, but I mean, but at the same time, she's a child. That's like the one downside. I mean, I get it if you're a grown adult, but she's only 13, going to be 14.
The media is very, very cruel.
It's not even the media, it's the fans.
Exactly. Part of the media. Especially like internet people.
Yeah.
People on the, yeah, so.
I mean, there's some parts that, of course, I don't like. Like, say, with Riho, I never really liked her to begin with. I knew she was a good dancer, and I thought she was cute, but I was just like, whatever, but I don't hate her. I like these things about her. And then with Zuki helping her bring out her shyness, I like her a lot more. Still not my top number one, but I still think of her as an important source of learning this way. Or I at least find something good I like about her. And a lot of people don't think that. They're just like, oh, it's her fault that she has all the lines and she dances and she does this and she does that. And it's not even her choice. It's not even, she's a 13-year-old kid. Do you think she says, oh, if I do not get that solo line and only you, I am out of here? No.
People are cruel in general.
Yeah, it just annoys me. And that they don't even give these girls a chance at the same time. They just take one picture or one thing that happened and say, oh, I'm out. Or I just don't like them.
Or,
like,
yeah.
They'll be assigned by their manager the wrong color, and they'll hate the models. They'll hate the idol for life.
Honestly, I don't think J-pop. I think J-pop, like, people are actually more positive, or they don't openly show their negativity compared to K-pop fans, which basically are people who make sites that are basically against a group or a certain girl in the group.
Well, I don't think it's all J-pop. I'm just saying, like, from what I've seen from this fandom alone and from Morning with Smith. Because, I mean, as soon as Nine of the Gen auditions came out and the Ninth Gen were chosen, half of everybody was like, oh, my God, why? I'm not following anymore. They're all too young. Without really realizing half the people that they liked beforehand started at that age. And not really realizing that it's going to, of course, these girls aren't going to be perfect on the get-go. You get to see them grow and mature and see that shy girl turn into an awesome person, aka Ellie, for example. But no one wants a part of that. They just see one thing and they drop it. I mean, I was upset at first. I was like, why are we doing Nine Gen auditions? This is like horrible. Oh my gosh. But I didn't say I'm out when I find out who wins. I said, I'll wait and see.
Oh.
And maybe I'll find a girl that I like.
Speaking of Ninth Gen auditions, there was a bit of news.
Wait, say that again?
Speaking of Ninth Gen auditions, there was a bit of news that came out the other day. There was a girl who auditioned for Ninth Gen who made the finals but blogged about it and got kicked out and had her footage removed from the special.
I heard about that today. Yeah. Like, she's in a new agency or something, right?
Right. She's been signed to a new agency. And... like, I had originally tried to start the rumor that she was a yokai, a shape-shifting raccoon who tried to audition to be an idol but was found out because she couldn't keep up the illusion in mirrors. So...
I think my brain is dead.
Yeah, so so basically I was calling her Yokai-chan, but now that we have clear pictures of her, I'm starting to think, well, maybe I was a little bit cruel because this girl's pretty fugly. So calling her a yokai is, might seem to be a little bit cruel now.
You never know. Watch her grow up. Watch her when she turns 20. She's like probably going to be a really pretty girl.
Hopefully, yeah.
Maybe or maybe not.
Okay. I'm going to be honest. When I first saw pictures of Kong Kong when she first joined, I seriously thought, oh my gosh, what the heck? But like, she turned out to be a really pretty young woman. So you never know. Okay. That's all I'm going to say. You never know.
That's what you're going to say? No, I don't know. Some people still think her ears are weird and her nose and her lips.
I didn't even look at that. Look at Naki from Cute. Oh my god, I used to hate how Naki looked because she just looked creepy to me.
And yeah, she kind of looked like an alien.
Like, I liked her personality, but I just did not like how she looked. Now that she's grown up and she's not that awkward person anymore, she looks really pretty and she made, like, her lips and her mouth her charm point, pretty much. I mean, even she admits that she looks like a fish. I mean, if you make something that you know is not good about you, your charm point, and you make it positive, that's awesome. So,
okay.
Yeah, gotta be positive.
Okay, so
don't be hating on the idol.
Okay.
It's still gonna exist.
Okay, now,
well, trying to convert some people.
Now, I just noticed that we've gone over 3 hours now.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's exactly what it's at. Intense talking we've been doing, huh?
It's past midnight.
Yeah, it's like 12:30 in the morning. Yeah, I think we should probably end this before we keep talking until the morning. And my mom will probably be pretty happy.
Okay.
Yeah, all right. Good night, good night. Bye-bye.
Okay, so...
Oh, gee.
So in conclusion, I will have to study the Morning Musume and Hello Project Girls body language harder.
Only if you want to be more realistic. If you don't want to at all... Then you don't really have to.
Yeah.
What I say is just suggestion.
Okay.
Same here. I mean, if you want to just do it based on like how they are, just watch videos, I guess, and read stories and stuff. But if you really don't care, then you don't have to really listen to us. Just our opinion.
I want them to be somewhat in character, even if they're out of character.
Well, then it'd be good if you, like, look at stuff and watch videos and all that good stuff.
So, even if, like, even if Reina is a brilliant brain surgeon, she's still going to do, like, weird things.
It's kind of like Grack's story. With, like, everybody's a doctor or going to be a doctor.
Why is that a crack story?
Crack.
Out of character story.
Yeah, well, she makes them doctors and stuff. And even though they're doctors and they're not all idols, she still shows some of their personalities.
Yep. Yeah, like Eddie cuts open someone holding her breath because she knows it's going to stink.
And she makes horrible jokes.
Yeah.
And Miki, even though she's a really good doctor, she's still a pervert.
Still a bitch to everyone.
Yeah, like those things. You can still keep their personality, but just put them in a different world or situation or something.
Miki will have a good bedside manner, but gets into death stare contests with other doctors.
But yeah, let's end this.
Okay.
So Junkie can go to bed.
Okay.
And I can go to bed.
Okay, so.
Good night.
Okay, so.
Gee, so Rob, let's just wrap it up nicely.
Be quiet. This is nice enough.
No, it's not.
So this has been the Hello Project, the Hello Hello Project fan fiction podcast, Sexy 8 Bito.
Sexy 8 Bito.
I'm gonna cover you.
No, you won't. Okay, yeah, keep going. Bring on, come on.
Okay, and we've had on the show Junkie, Kawaii Beam, B-Cubed, and Randy. And I'm your field host, Resop.
You almost failed your name there.
Hey,
it's
my gimmick.
But okay, well, now you can say it, Junkie.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay. Good night, everyone.